from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Monday to everybody. It's another gorgeous day.
Gorgeous.
Makes me very excited.
Gorgeous. Matter of fact, what's the weather supposed to be, Ursula?
It's going to be not quite as warm as yesterday, looking at the 70s, a few more clouds, according to Nick Allard. And then I heard Thursday we might get a bit of sprinkling back in the forecast. So enjoy the days while you can if you love these sunny days.
That's right. Me and a buddy of mine, we sat outside on Sunday. Yeah, we sat outside on Sunday. We went to go to breakfast yesterday morning, Ursula. And I said to him, hey, you sure you don't want to go inside? It's kind of hot.
I don't even want to hear it. Beaming. I do not want to hear it, G.
It was beaming right on me.
I know, but we just don't get enough of these days, so enjoy them while you can.
Hey, coming up ahead at 10:33, Heather Bosch comes in to help us better understand a very important interview that happened with Marshawn Lynch and Dr. Fauci. We discussed that at 10:33. But right now, Ursula, what you got for us?
Well, this is a really depressing topic, but it is one that we need to tackle. And you mentioned on Friday, G, that we decided we were not going to go deep dive into a story that was happening on Friday, and that involved the mass shooting at a FedEx facility.
Right.
But we have to talk about this because it was another weekend of mass shootings across the country. Three people were killed in a shooting near Austin, Texas. And then in Kenosha, Wisconsin, three men were killed. Three others were injured after a shooting at a college bar. Just since the beginning of this year, there have been nearly 150 mass shootings across the country.
Kenosha, Columbus, Ohio, Detroit twice, Indianapolis, Pensacola, Washington, D.C. twice, Baltimore twice, Chicago four times, Wichita, Seattle, Memphis twice, Koshkonong, Missouri.
Okay, you kind of get the point. This is going to go on for a while. And it's not to sound callous, but at some point I can't even keep track of where they're all happening. And I actually had to look up. We had to look up where the one in Seattle happened. And that was in the Central District recently. And something needs to be done, but what is that? It just seems like we keep talking about it each and every single time, and yet very little changes. And right now, it seems like whether it's copycat or it's become kind of this contagion effect, which actually there is some research that shows that each new shooting is likely to spark another one. And we are in a very bad cycle right now.
Very bad cycle, and no matter where you side with your side when it comes to gun reform, it is a very bad cycle, and one in which I don't believe that we can get this toothpaste back into the tube. Over the weekend, as we kept hearing about this, we like I said, you and I, we decided not to talk about it on Friday. I was like, hey, Ursula, it's Friday. You know what I mean? They'll talk about it in the newscast. We can talk about other things. And then it just kind of continued to happen. The one similarities that I think that most of us have in this is there's probably a possibility that if and when you did talk about it this past weekend, you might have made a mistake and mixed it up. Like, wait, which one? Wait, is this in Texas? Oh, wait, no, is this in Wisconsin? Because it's happening so rapid, so much so that we don't even stop anymore. Like, it's, hey, did you hear about what happened in Austin, Texas? Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Anyways, so what's for dinner? As before, if we go back to our past, right, you go back to, let's say, Columbine. And Ursula, you probably were doing news when Columbine happened. And you guys remember the nation stopped during those times and like, whoa, and disgusted. And
we could talk about
it.
The names of the victims. We could talk about, unfortunately,
right?
the people involved, knew all the details, what was learned, what they did,
talked about it all. Now it's become a blip on the screen and is scary. And as far as, well, they got to do something about this. You know what? I'm going to go back again with history. history has shown me, no, nothing's going to be done. Because after Sandy Hook, when those little kids were killed in that situation and nothing was done, that taught me, Ursula, that showed me that no, nothing's going to happen by this. So the only thing that we can do going forward is to be safe and just pray. There is no, I know that sounds crazy because it's like,
okay,
oh, well,
I'm,
gee,
I'm gonna
you're gonna argue against
yes,
me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I'm gonna come up with a couple of things. So
okay,
one thing,
on.
I think you were absolutely right. Sandy Hook should have been the reason to do something as simple as universal background check. I mean, what is it? What one thing can you do as a nation and say, okay, we agree to this? And I still don't understand how universal background checks, which need to be passed by Congress, how that is going to impact anyone who is is worried about their gun rights, the people who have guns and who use them lawfully and carefully and, you know, and get them by legal means, why it should worry anyone like that. I still don't understand. And please text us at 98973 what it is that is. I know there's always that argument about, well, once you start, it's going to just keep going and you're just going to keep going and keep going. And then we're going to lose our guns or our rights to guns. That hasn't happened. And then the other argument that keeps being brought up is, well, none of these changes would have helped in any of these situations. One change that is happening, and you know that President Biden recently announced a whole bunch of executive orders that are aimed at reducing gun-related violence. And some people said, well, it wasn't enough. He's calling on Congress to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Again, that's one of those things where why is it that people who are legal gun owners are worried about a ban on assault? What does a civilian need an assault weapon for? It always seems to get into the hands of these young teenagers who are troubled. And yes, we need to address mental health. Mental health is one of the most common things in here. You know, with each one, you have to be mentally ill or somehow, you know, just not thinking right if you are going to kill a bunch of people, period.
Ursula, real quick on the mental health.
Yeah.
The gunman in the FedEx shooting legally bought two semi-automatic rifles months after a gun was seized from him over his mental state. Let me repeat that again. Bought two semi-automatic rifles months after a gun was already seized from him over his mental state. Let me just take one second here.
Yeah.
There are people that are listening now. I own guns, by the way. I just want to be clear. I own guns.
Yeah, you are not anti-gun.
I am not anti-gun. And so there are people that are listening right now. You own guns. Here's my question to you. Have you ever had guns taken away from you because of your mental state? That answer is probably no. Most people don't. And in this case, this man had weapons taken away and he was still able to buy.
And so, that's where what is that loophole? So the FBI had enough concerns and they questioned him. OK, so he's 19 years old. I don't even want to use his name, but he's 19 years old. His own mother called authorities. She did the right thing. She claimed he might commit suicide by cop. A gun was seized at his home. And yet he was still able to legally purchase these weapons. How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know, Ursula, but I just want to say that you're going to get mad at me with this conversation. And here's why you're going to get mad at me. Because I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted with it's the same thing every time. Like it happens. We discuss, we have these debates about gun reform. Nothing happens with it. It's the same argument. It's the same people that are arguing for and against. And then it happens again. And then it's thoughts and prayers. And then there's the argument.
I don't even want to hear the thoughts and prayers. Please don't use that.
So Ursula, I'm going to ask you because you said you had some thoughts. And
yes.
The only thoughts and ideas that you came with were actual like things to do with gun reform.
Yeah,
and
so,
I'm saying
and
to
mental,
you,
and mental health. But here's where I'm going to say, because I know you're saying, I'm just ready. I give up.
I do.
Basically, you're saying there's nothing that can be done.
Nope.
And I'm saying that we have been chipping away, and there needs to be. Do you remember that letter that we got last week from someone who said, "Yeah, people hate it when you talk about racism, because but it's almost like having to hear it and present it in a way that's not threatening. No one's trying to take anything away from you who are legally owning these things. But what can be done to keep those firearms from getting into the wrong hands? And yes, it doesn't mean you only focus on the guns. Guns aren't the ones that, it's people. Yes, so you have to address the issues with the people. But in this case, with this 19-year-old and the mom, and there was a tool. So what we're learning now, and I'm just reading this now in the last few seconds, apparently this 19-year-old never appeared before a judge for a hearing under Indiana's red flag law. So the prosecutor there is saying that authorities believe they had done what they needed to by seizing the shotgun that he had in March of last year. Right. So they responded to his home after his mother called police to say her son might commit suicide by cop. And the prosecutor says if they had invoked the red flag law and lost, they would have had to return the gun to him, and that's not something they were willing to do.
Right.
So it's like, there needs to be multiple layers where someone like this doesn't get his hands on a gun again.
Sure. You're right. Do you remember, I just want to talk about the always willingness for, the country that wants to go and just buy guns. Again, let me repeat. I'm a gun owner, okay? So I don't want anybody to think that I'm against people having guns. But if you remember, we had a colleague when COVID first broke out last year, and we were sitting there, and one of our colleagues came and said, "Yeah, I'm thinking about going to buy a gun too." Wait, what? It's a public health crisis, right? But for some reason, the energy, people started to really get out here and go out here and buy more guns. I have a buddy of mine who already has a bunch of guns.
Yeah, every time you talk about gun reform, people go out and run and get more guns.
During COVID, he went out and bought way more. And I asked him, I said, "What do you need all of those guns for?" "Oh, well, just in case." "Just in case what?" To protect your family? All of your family has to come in your house. You got all the guns in your house. And then the next part of this, Ursula, as we continue to talk about this, is it continues to be repetitive. And so I'm sorry if I seem a little bit negative when it comes to this, but I just don't feel like it's going to happen. And we're all, by the way, there are states right now, the state of Texas, that are trying to make it possible for people to have handguns with no permit.
And what's the reason for that? Because they're not accessible in Texas?
I don't know. Maybe somebody listening right now can help me understand why. Why do that? And so if I can sit here and say I'm exhausted and concede, probably which isn't good, right? Like, that's the worst thing you can do, is not want to put up a fight anymore. But I'm just saying when is it going to be enough? Is going to be enough? That's my question. So if it wasn't enough for Sandy Hook,
the Sandy Hook thing is a good argument. But I would continue to say we need to chip away and keep working as a country and not look at it as, gun rights advocates against gun safety advocates. It's like we should all agree that we don't want those things to get into the hands of the wrong people. So what is it? What are the basic things that we can agree on? Most of the country agrees already, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, on the idea of universal background checks.
Right.
I mean, you need gun licensing laws. Again, which implies universal background check. But you need that. I mean, just as if you drive a car, you need to have a license and a vehicle registration. Why shouldn't that be true if you own a firearm? I don't get it.
You can argue
that, oh, it's not going to help in any of these cases. But little things that you can chip away, and that this not, I'm not talking about chipping away your freedoms. I'm talking about chipping away at, I mean, one of the biggest problems, too, is people killing themselves with these guns. Those guns getting in the wrong hands.
That definitely is a huge issue. Hey Ursula, sometimes I go off the road. I promise you I'll come back. Johnson & Johnson, the company that's distributing the vaccines, what's going on? What's going on with them right now? Why is Johnson & Johnson on pause from giving out vaccines right now?
Because
what's the reason?
There were at least 6 cases where people got these blood clots that were not similar to other kinds of blood clot issues that either killed or seriously injured them. And they're trying to see if there's a correlation between the vaccine and these blood clots.
You know where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm.
6, Ursula. 6. 6 out of 6 million that were giving out, they paused it. They stopped it. Hold up. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnson & Johnson, there's a 1 in a million chance that you could receive this blood clot, which is serious. I'm not saying it's not serious.
Great point.
As soon as that happened, there was an immediate pause. Heather Bosch was talking about it. It was in the news. It was front page. It was everywhere. There's a hole. As a matter of fact, Johnson & Johnson is still on a pause right now. Dr. Fauci said that there's probably going to be new information. We'll find out more on Friday. But lo and behold, Sandy Hook happens. All of these mass shootings happens. Nothing. This is why I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted because it feels like, I don't know what it feels like.
We talk about it over and over again, and then you start becoming numb to it. And the fact that we can't even distinguish, wait, where did that happen? This morning I had to, I was referring to one of the mass shootings, and I was referring to the wrong one. And that's just awful, because I was thinking these are people's lives. Any one of those lives would be enough to devastate an entire family and community, and we can't even keep them straight. So, I hear that you're exhausted, but you can't give up the fight. You cannot continue to ask and search, what is it? And I think the answer always starts with us individually. I heard someone, and I'll mention it again, but someone who said, you know what? I know that I suffer from depression and anxiety, and there are times when I go to a deep, dark place. And for that reason, I will not buy a gun. That's a start.
Oh, Ursula, I don't know how you do it, but you do it. You got me all riled up with this topic. I give up the fight.
As you should be riled up, but you can't give up the fight, just like you can't with COVID. Can't say, I'm exhausted, I'm done. No, got to keep fighting.
Hey, coming up next, Heather Bosch. She's going to join us, and woo, we're going to dig into this interview with Marshawn Lynch and Dr. Fauci. We do that next. It's the Gene Ursula Show.
On the G and Ursula Show, I heard over the weekend, G, that Seattle Seahawk legend Marshawn Lynch got real about COVID in a conversation with the nation's top infectious disease doctor. And this conversation was about what you would expect from Beast Mode, very candid. And so we're going to hear more now from Heather Bosch.
You got Marshawn Lynch here, man. Pleasure to meet Dr. Fauci himself.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Mark.
Marshawn Lynch quickly got down to business, telling Dr. Anthony Fauci why people of color are hesitant to get the COVID vaccine.
You don't mind if I be myself, right? Okay, well then, you know, it's a chance that I can come out of this situation more up than I went into it.
All right, so let's go there.
They talked about the African-American community's distrust of the government and the lack of access to healthy diets and adequate health care that can lead to underlying health problems.
Diabetes is more common in blacks than whites. Hypertension is more common. Kidney disease is more common.
Conditions that put one at greater risk for severe COVID illness.
So what it sounds to me is we have a bigger problem than just the coronavirus.
Fauci agreed, advocating for change, but stressing that it makes the vaccine all the more important. Lynch says these are messages that need to be brought into and explained better to minority communities.
Have those individuals that look like yourself come out and speak to these communities in these black and brown individuals on a level of which they can understand, so we can last and not come in last.
Heather Bosch, Cairo Radio News.
And we asked Heather to hang out with us in studio to talk about this. So I just want to ask you about the question. He said, I'm worried that it's going to make me more, you know what?
Yeah, he stressed that a couple of times.
After the vaccine. So how did Dr. Fauci explain that? Like, okay, how do you reassure members of the black community that, no, you're not going to be more, messed up?
Right. Well, first he acknowledged that there's a reason for African-Americans to not trust the government and to be hesitant. That's unfortunately in our history. But he explained then that the shots were studied in both African-American and Latino populations as well as white, and they were just as safe and just as effective. So, and then again, we kept hearing Marshawn come back to, well, explain this to us. You know, come in and explain it in a way I can understand. And I get that frustration of his, because part of my job as a journalist sometimes is to sit down with these scientists and talk about what they're doing and what their research is. And it's stuff for me, and I do this for a living. You know, come on, tell me again, do you mean this? Do you really mean that? And so Marshawn really stressed, hey, you need to come into our communities and explain it. It doesn't help if it's published somewhere in some, you know, fancy magazine somewhere. Come talk to us. Come be real to us.
It's the interview with Dr. Fauci and Marshawn Lynch. It's very important. Huge. Really important. That type of back and forth, Marshawn able to talk in a way that is like Marshawn being Marshawn.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
One thing about Marshawn that I've always respected over his career and being around him all the time, he seriously never changed. And even in there was a point in time, I remember when the media wasn't too fond of Marshawn. I remember those days too. Mm-hmm. But here we are today, and it's cool now to love. Oh, I just love Marshawn. Everybody loves Marshawn. But it's important, right? Because I'll admit, I got family members. My uncle, my father's brother, just told me the other day that that getting the vaccine is a way for the government to get your DNA. I asked him, I said, Unc, you mean to tell me the government is really trying to get our DNA by putting shots in our arms? Yep, that's how they're doing it. So my uncle is in his 60s, mid-60s. Do you know how hard it is for me to fight against that, to argue against that?
Right.
There is a real distrust in America right now. And there is sometimes there's nothing can be said, but sometimes just someone watching Dr. Fauci and Marshawn having an interview will make them have more comfort. Because or my uncle will say, well, you need to do more. I'm going to do more research. I've been researching it. What lab have you been in?
It's like, where are you researching?
What lab are you in? You don't have a choice. So when any of my family members has high blood pressure, right? Which, by the way, high blood pressure runs in my family a lot. How come I ain't never heard you guys talk about, well, I'm doing some research on a high blood pressure medication? Sometimes you have to let the experts do these things. And so, Heather, this was a fantastic thing that you just did.
Okay, so question. How do you – so is it Marshawn Lynch's podcast? Or I know it's on YouTube. What was this for?
I believe it was a YouTube conversation that Marshawn Lynch's YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was a guest and very frank with them, and I thought it was a great job.
You know, the other thing that I've noticed, too, is there's more and more criticism about Dr. Fauci. People bringing up everything from, you know, he's been doing this so long, and he's just one voice, and why aren't we looking at other people to be the point person on this pandemic?
He's the expert. I interviewed him all the time when the Ebola was a concern. When I worked for the network, I'd call him up, hey, Dr. Fauci. And then he's like a little he's brilliant scientist. He's like a little scientist action figure with kung fu microscope grip. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He really does. And this is why we keep going back to Fauci.
But the other thing that I love about him is that, I mean, the guy never stops.
Yeah.
I mean, he is
passionate.
He is on every channel, every network, Marshawn Lynch's, you know, YouTube channel.
Do you get the feeling that maybe the backlash against Fauci had more to do with the past administration? Because that's...
Oh, it's happening
that's
now.
That's my feeling.
Here's the most heartbreaking part about the backlash, Heather, that Dr. Fauci gets. Dr. Fauci was getting backlash in the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Of this. Now, this is This is before there were 40,000 deaths in the country. He said in the beginning, the way it's trending, the way it's looking like there might be over 100,000 deaths. There could be possibly that the way things are going. People thought he was a quack then. And the same people that thought he was a quack then, now after nearly 600,000 deaths have happened in America, are the same folks that are calling him a quack now. So there's nothing Dr. Fauci can do.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing that keeps getting brought up, and we just have to remind everybody, science changes.
Yes.
Science is not... like in stone, that it doesn't change, that you learn something new every day, every week. Yes, it's going to change. So to go back to say, Dr. Fauci said this a year and a half ago and now is saying this, that doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. And we have to realize this was a brand new virus. We didn't know what it was going to do or not do. So scientists were giving it their, you know, best with the knowledge they had then, giving the best advice they could. Now we know more. Now yes. It has been studied. Now we've seen it work its process in different countries around the world.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, thank you for that feature. Loved it.
Thank you, Heather.
Anytime.
Fantastic. Coming up next in scenarios, there's some scenarios that I know is going to be fun, Ursula. And this is the topic of this. Let me know.
Okay, they write is it going to be fun or is it going to be scary?
No, it's going to be fun. They write in the subject line says, I think he's the one, but how do I know? Oh, we do this in scenarios next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all you guys. As you guys know, we do scenarios that'll happen at 11:06. We look forward to hanging out with you then. But right now, it is time for scenarios brought to you by...
Wait, did you just hear what you said?
Yeah. I just realized what I said. Hey, give
agree
me a...
to disagree.
Agree to disagree.
Yes.
Brought to you by scenario... Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm all messed. It's Monday. Help me out, y'all. The sun was shining too hard on me yesterday. How about that? And I said I was too hot. All right, let's get to scenarios brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Okay, guys, I'm a good girl. I have never been in trouble and always try to do the right thing. Maybe I'm too much of a goody two-shoes, but I'm just not a risk taker. I've only had two boyfriends in my life. One was the head of my debate team in high school. Okay, not that matters, but there you have it. We broke up when I went to college. He was a year younger. The other guy is the guy that I'm with now. I'm 27. He's 31. And we're engaged. I love him, I think. Or I thought. But now I'm confused. Here's what happened. Last week, I met a guy who works for our company in another city. He was here for some meetings, and we got to talking at the office. We really hit it off, and we ended up having lunch together. He left a few days later, but we have been texting back and forth, and I can't stop thinking about him. I've never felt this way before, and I'm wondering if I could be in love with this guy. This is totally unfair to my fiance, and he knows nothing about it. Maybe it's just my lack of experience with guys, or maybe it's just an infatuation. I don't know, but it's making me crazy. What should I do? Should I tell my fiance, or should I ignore these feelings? Put my head down and just go through with my wedding, even though I may always wonder what might have been. And what if I do tell my fiance, but this new guy has no real interest in me? Help. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you have to bat first.
Man, that's complicated. Oh my goodness. Okay, first of all, this idea of a good girl. I used to kind of buy into that whole thing because I was a goody two shoes as well. Some of that story actually sounds very familiar, and you're killing me. Okay, so...
There's a new listener right now. Okay. What do you mean by that sounds familiar?
Yeah, so I had two longer-term relationships before I met my husband. I was in my second relationship when I met my husband. And I didn't know that I would end up with my husband. I'd been dating this other gentleman and happened to meet Mark while I was dating. We did nothing, but I found myself thinking about Mark more than the person I was with. I never got engaged, so I would be a hypocrite to say, oh, just ignore the feelings. No, there's clearly something wrong. You are not ready to be engaged and married to this man. So absolutely. And in my case, I did tell my boyfriend at the time that I had met Mark and that I was feeling, you know, some kind of way. And it was an indication for me that something was not right. It's painful. It's painful for the fiance or the boyfriend. But you need to be honest. Any relationship not built on honesty is a relationship doomed to fail. So she needs to keep it straight. She's clearly not ready. Don't worry about this idea of being a good girl or hurting your fiance's feelings. What's worse is if you move forward with a marriage and you're unhappy. And you know what? You do take that risk. Don't just wait and see if the third person is now interested for a longer term. Clearly something is not right with your current relationship.
Paul, what do you have there?
Whew, yeah, no, it's a tough one, but I got to echo what Ursula said. You got to be ready to get married, and being in the similar age range as them, I know I'm not ready, but don't beat yourself up too much. But I think open, honest communication, and if you don't have a specific date on that wedding, give yourself some time. Give yourself some time to talk with your partner, because you should be able to talk through this thing. It shouldn't be nuclear level already broken, but if you can talk through this, then you can go into your marriage stronger than you are now. And if you don't go into that marriage, then you know you did the right thing, but you did the hard stuff first. It'd be much harder to do anything after the marriage if something like this came up versus beforehand, in my opinion.
I disagree with both of y'all. Absolutely disagree with both of you. And I can't believe that I'm the one on the show that is talking about sticking through something. First of all, in this letter, she says she loves him. Right? So that automatically right there lets me know she loves her fiance.
Okay.
Right.
I think she added.
She loves him. But yeah, so somebody came into the office, some Prince Charming came in, and he was from out of town, and he was probably a fast talker, Slick Willie type, you know what I mean? I don't even know if I'm allowed to say Slick Willie on the radio, but anyways, I did. But he was a talker from out of town, and you got infatuated. That was infatuation. And as a matter of fact, there's going to be probably more situations like that.
So you're going to be honest with your fiance, right?
So, okay, now that part I'll agree with. Talk to your fiance about it. That would be a great opportunity to say, hey, here's what happened, right? I for some reason, I felt this way and this. Talk it through with him. And then maybe your fiance might say, you know what? I'm glad you bring that up, because the other day at the gym, the same thing happened. Have that conversation. It might make you guys come closer together by being honest at that time.
I think we're all in agreement. Be honest with your fiance.
But don't call it off. A lot of folks are texting in right now, and they're saying call off the engagement. I say don't call off the engagement.
I would think of maybe postponing it. No. Work it through.
No. Well, if you live in the state of Washington with Governor Jay Inslee, ain't no telling. He might roll back, and you might not be able to have a wedding anyways. Coming up next, we do agree to disagree. It's Gene Ursula.